The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
This is your main event, Mark's Podcast. I am your first host, lifelong wrestling fan, former radio guy, cat, and now dog dad, and I am the granddaddy of them all when it comes to podcasting. I am Troy. And unfortunately, he will not be joining me in person, but joining me in audio form from the archives, the one, the only, the main event collector and figure hunting warrior, the WWE walking wrestling encyclopedia himself. He was my tag team partner for many years on this podcast. He is Greg. I'm not going to go through why he's not here in person. Again, all of you can listen back in the last couple of episodes in the archives, but I will just say I am so happy to be putting this together today and releasing it to the public. WrestleMania season was Greg's Christmas. He loved Christmas and all, but WrestleMania season, man, that's what he got amped for every single year. He tried never to miss a WrestleMania. He tried to be there in person for all of them. He also tried as hard as he could to be at every SummerSlam and Royal Rumble as well, but and a few Survivor Series actually as well. I was there with him in 2019, I think. Yeah, 2019, right before the world ended for a short amount of time, and then was back open and all that stuff. But yeah, I was there with him, Chicago, probably the last time I will ever intentionally be in Chicago, because right now it's a bit of a war zone from everything I've seen and heard, so I'm going to avoid the Windy City like the plague. It's bad enough here in Ohio. But either way, WrestleMania season, everybody, was it's a great time had by all wrestling fans, unless you're one of those weirdos that's like so super anti-WWE, and WWE is the devil, just like foosball and all that. You can't watch WWE, the devil. If you're one of them weirdos, or like if anybody goes back in the YouTube archives, we talk about, and we've brought this guy up a few times on the podcast as well, but we have a clip talking about him and a mutual friend of ours went to, I can't remember which WrestleMania it was, down in Orlando, and this one guy they unintentionally ran into on a bus. We call him Ant Lover, because apparently he was having relations with this woman who ended up marrying his uncle, so she became his aunt. So we call him Aunt Lover. We're censoring what we actually call him, but, that's it. But either way, he literally flew into town from, like, Boston to watch the indie shows and then go home the day of WrestleMania. And this was back when it was, like, one day. Freaking nuts, dude. If you're one of those people, you're like, I'm going to fly into town to watch the indie shows and then go home and completely skip WrestleMania. Like, if you don't have the money for it, I get it. But if it's because just, like, ideological reasons, or, oh, I'm so anti-WWE and I'm cool, I'm anti-establishment, like, go screw yourself, man. Like, so stupid. WrestleMania is the Mac Daddy of wrestling events. Every wrestling fan worth a damn cares about WrestleMania. Even if it's not a fantastic show, you at least care about it. And you look forward to it. You make predictions about it all year. You wonder who's going to be there, who's going to face off, what kind of entrances are they going to have, what kind of attires are they going to have. It's a great time. I'm personally looking forward to going and hanging out with a buddy of mine that I watch almost every one of the big four with. I don't really go to hang out with him for Survivor Series, but I try to go for SummerSlam. I go for Night 1 of WrestleMania every year. I usually go for Royal Rumble to hang out with my buddy not far from me, and it's a good time. We have chicken wings and watch wrestling and fun stuff, man. Honestly, from all of you down in the comment section, I would love to, or if you're listening on podcast form, because, we are available on podcast form, not just here on YouTube and on Rumble, where you can, if you are listening in audio form and you want to see, more video and, watch it that way and support us, thank you. I appreciate it. All the archives are on YouTube, by the way, so go check that out. But I would love a subscription from y'all, and but either way, if you are listening on audio form, instead of in the comment section, because there is no comments, you can message us on social media at @MainEvent_Marks on X/Twitter/Twix, or you can hit me up on Instagram. It's @MainEvent_Marks. I don't really check out Facebook a whole lot, so, don't worry about that, but you can locate us pretty much anywhere, or you can go on YouTube and comment on one of my videos, and I will see it. And yeah, I will converse back and forth with you. I would like to know what you're doing for WrestleMania. I would like to know what your favorite WrestleMania is, what your favorite WrestleMania matches are. Today, Greg and I'm going to go through the archives with Greg our old archived audio, obviously, and talk about some WrestleMania main events from every WrestleMania we've covered on this podcast. It's been a few. We have reviews on this show from damn near every WrestleMania, not all of them, but a huge chunk. Some of them, I forgot that we even recorded them, and I'm thinking back about it. It's like, oh my gosh, yeah, we have so many recorded. So I'm going to get them ready, and we're going to cover the main events here all on this podcast. And I appreciate y'all being here and listening in, and I hope you enjoy this podcast here for WrestleMania. I might split it up into two podcasts, just because there's so much. You want to cover so much WrestleMania goodness, and it is WrestleMania season after all, so I hope you enjoy. And by the way, after Sting retired in beginning of March, I believe, we released Thank You Sting episodes. We released two. The first one is a combo of his all the stuff Greg and I recorded of Sting's feud with Vader, and then Sting's feud with Ric Flair through the years. And then the second episode was everything we recorded about Sting's feud with Hulk Hogan, his on-again, off-again, like, friendship, and then, like, bitter enemy feud with him. So go back and listen to the two Thank You Sting episodes. I think you'll enjoy them if you're a big fan of Sting! But now it's WrestleMania season, everybody, so let's get into this with some reviews of main events from our favorite WrestleManias.
WWF WrestleMania 3.
It is Hulk Hogan defending the WWF World Heavyweight title against Andre the Giant with Bobby the Brain Heenan in his corner. This one went about 12 minutes. Yes, 12 minutes for the big main event.
That's something for the occasion.
Oh, well, roll tide on that, I guess. But when Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant, the crowd became unglued. He then hit a running leg drop on Andre and got the pinfall win. Uncle Dave says that this match was even worse than he expected. It wasn't the worst match he ever saw, but it was threatening to be. Also, he was bugged that they were out of the ring for about 90 seconds at one point, but Joey Morella couldn't count to 10. But he does note, however, that you can't really complain about a match that did more business than every Flair versus Steamboat, Fez versus Gotch, and Briscoe versus Funk match combined. He, however, gave it a star. I gave it 2 stars. What say you?
I gave it 2, and now I have to ask, what the hell did he expect?
Well, he said he said it was worse than he expected, so I don't know.
You ever heard any documentary on this match ever? Any. Everybody says Andre went in this completely hurt. Like painful, right. Like death. Of pain. Pain, like death would have been like a great welcome to how much pain he was in, apparently. Like, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, how was he supposed to be any good? And also that match wasn't going to be good. I mean, Marquis sold the tickets. Nobody bought it. Say, no, this is going to be an amazing match. The damn Marquis sold the tickets. Don't kid yourself.
And it's ironic that Hulk Hogan's back is in about as bad a shape nowadays.
Right. So, I'll be fair, though. He carried an injury on his back for years. So there's that.
Yeah, there's three on his massive shoulders, brother.
Ironically, Austin's neck broke before he was carrying a
injury. Good Lord.
That's crazy to think about.
I know, it's sad. But after the match, Hulk must pose, pal. Andre points and shouts at Hogan in the ring as he and Heenan load into the gondola. Heenan puts his head down as they ride into the back as fans throw trash at him.
Just an iconic shot. Man.
Yep. And Hogan poses for like 10 minutes. Uncle Dave.
He never wore that suit again, by the way.
Oh, Heenan? Yeah, I never. Yeah. It's the only time I ever saw him wear it, so I believe it. Uncle Dave proclaimed this show to be the most impressive production in wrestling history by far, and a success that far exceeded anyone's expectations. He previously predicted this show to be a flop because, you know, he's a genius.
My God.
And all.
Good Lord.
It never could have possibly been a flop.
Don't you got to be? Think this is gonna be a flop?
Yep, he's a complete moron. Good Lord. But now that we're done trashing Uncle Dave, let's take our final. Well, for now.
Yourself.
WWF WrestleMania 8.
Main event, it's Sid Justice with Dr. Harvey Whippleman taking on Hulk Hogan in 12 minutes, 44 seconds.
I didn't notice this until, you know, just now. You notice he wore the colorful trunks, Sid, that is, until he, like, started Pretty going nice, full until he started going full heel, and then he switched to black. Did you notice that?
I did, yeah.
I didn't even think about it until that. I was like, oh, he was wearing black. I thought he only wore the colorful trunks at this time. But anyway, Sid jumps Hogan during Hogan's entrance, but Hulk fights back while his music blares. I did make this note. Jim Cornette claims that he nicknamed Sid Psycho Sid when he came back to the WWF, but Heenan and Monsoon call him that and beat that name home like a million times during this match, if you noticed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, really? Cornette thinks that, like, nobody watched WWF before?
Shocker.
Yeah. But anyway, Sid hits a chokeslam, a powerbomb, and uses the doctor bag of Whippleman on Hogan. But that doesn't put the Hulkster away. Then Sid kicks out of a big leg drop because...
reasons.
Well, yeah, we'll get into that here in a bit. Anyway, he kicks out of the leg drop as Harvey Whippleman, like, gets on the apron, and he gets involved, and they call for a DQ after he gets involved. Uncle Dave said, quote, one of the three worst main events in pay-per-view history. However, he said he is impressed that Hogan has so much charisma that he can take a match like this, which is completely devoid of anything, and generate interest in it. He gave it -2 stars. I gave it 1 star, because honestly, it sucked. What say you?
I gave it 1 star, and the post-match is better than the actual match.
That's saying something. Getting into it, after the match is officially over, Papa Shango runs in, and he beats Hogan up, tying him in the ropes. All of a sudden, the Ultimate Warriors music hits, and he runs out to help. Hogan and Warrior completely clear the ring. Hogan grabs a chair, and after this, it's Hulk and Warrior must pose, pal.
Yeah.
I know you were saying, dude, you blew up for this.
Even watching it back, I was like, holy crap, man, I forgot how giddy I got. Like, when I heard that music, because when I was a kid, I didn't know why he was gone. He was just gone. And, like, yeah, there he is. You know, and, like, don't care what people said about the guy, I'll always be a huge fan of Ultimate Warrior. But, yeah, oh, yeah. I just went ape shit. Sorry, we'll blur that. When he came back out. And then the Papa Shango thing, though, I still think he gets too much crap for that, because apparently he was not told to go.
Wow. Yeah,
so, somebody... I saw an interview with him. He said he was not... He didn't miss any cue. He was never told to go. They said, go now. And it was already too late.
Wow.
So it's kind of messed up that he gets that bad rap.
The main event of WrestleMania, and you forget to send out the guy who's going to lead to the finish.
Well, none of that matters, because you know how it's going to end. And yeah. I wanted to get to this. Why did this match end the show and not the WWE title match? Why?
Warrior? I don't know.
Because Hulk must pose.
Oh, well, yeah.
How the hell did you miss that?
Well, I already said Hulk must pose. Your turn now. But, yeah, Hulk and Warrior pose. I have a Mattel figure of that Warrior, by the way. So, a lot of WrestleMania 8 Mattel figures. But, yeah, this would lead to the epic Papa Shango and Warrior feud. Gosh.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, well, Warrior vomited.
It was so bad.
Yeah, Warrior vomited black goop. And while Shango put a curse on him.
Yeah, they just brought that back on Raw, too.
Yeah, right? Man, you would think we planned this. God help us.
WWF WrestleMania 9.
It's Bret the Hitman Hart defending the World's Heavyweight title against Yokozuna. This goes about 9 minutes. So, newsflash, Bret Hart is super over. In the end, Bret...
Yeah, a little bit.
Bret Hart is yanked away from the corner and rips the turnbuckle pad off because he was holding on to it at the time. Yokozuna tries to slam Bret Hart's face into it. Bret stops and slams Yoko's face into the exposed steel instead. He then locks in the sharpshooter and
as well as he can.
Yeah, right.
You catch the ref? He just couldn't. I mean, obviously, he just couldn't get it on him.
Right. And, he's got it locked in the best he can, and then when the ref isn't looking, Mr. Fuji throws a handful of salt in Brett's eyes. Yoko then walks over to a writhing Brett and pins him for the win. This wasn't as bad as I thought it would be, but it wasn't great. Those stupid nerve holds lasted forever. Luckily, Brett was able to redeem himself at the next year with Yokozuna. Uncle Dave gave this 3 stars. I gave it 2. What say you?
I gave it 2. If you're to believe Brett's book, apparently this match was supposed to go another 10 minutes and he was going to wind it out.
The hell?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if I buy that because there was other things.
Going back to what I said earlier, that sometimes Brett and Hogan just say stuff. So there you go.
Well,
he said there was 10 minutes that they had a cut and he was really pissed off. That's what he said.
Well, I'll bring up the timing thing here in a minute with the wrap up, but real quick, while Yokozuna is celebrating his victory in the ring, Hulk Hogan comes out to protest the result with Earl Hebner. Through broken English, Mr. Fuji tells Hulk Hogan that Yokozuna is issuing a WWF title challenge to Hulk Hogan right now. Hulk Hogan starts
even though, if you look back at it, Yokozuna never opened his mouth whatsoever.
Yeah, right. It's all Fuji. Hulk Hogan starts to help Bret Hart, but then he turns around and Bret tells him to go and accept the challenge.
Once Hogan quick, gets on back, that, if you go back and watch it, there's a little Easter egg in there I pointed out to my buddy. If you go back and watch when Bret's telling him to go, there's a there's like a black man right next to him. That black man turns out to be Oscar from Man on a Mission, who yet to debut. He just happens to be there.
Wow, that's hilarious. Once Hogan gets back in the ring, Yokozuna holds him for Fuji. Fuji goes to throw salt in Hogan's eyes, but Hulk ducks and Yokozuna gets the salt in his eyes. Hogan takes out Fuji, drops Yokozuna, hits a leg drop.
You know, like, I've seen that. Well, if you go back and look at it, if Fuji hit Hogan with the salt, he was still going to hit Yokozuna a little bit too. It was going to hit his face anyways. It was the way he had him.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Anyway, Yoko gets the salt in his eyes. Hogan takes out Fuji, drops Yokozuna, hits the leg drop, and wins the WWF World title. WrestleMania 9 comes to a close with Hulk Hogan and his Herb Abrams yellow cowboy boots posing for the crowd.
That people went crazy for.
Exactly. Well, that's why they were cheering. But he poses in the ring while fireworks blow above his head because Hulk must pose, pal. So,
and he is going, ape shit. Are you telling me Yokozuna only on top for 3 minutes?
Oh man. Now this is the wrap up from Uncle Dave here. So there were some timing problems with matches running long, which led to later matches being cut short and the advertised Bam Bam Bigelow versus Kamala match being axed altogether.
I had that in my notes. I was gonna tell you, yeah, they built that up pretty not a lot on TV, but pretty well because Bigelow was like the unstoppable heel and Kamala was like all of a sudden face. The scary guy that could beat the monster. They kind of built it up, and yeah, it just never happened.
Nice. Well, I'm not exactly crying that that match was not on here because Mother of God. But the crowd was apathetic, similar to the same casino crowds that saw WrestleMania 4 and 5 at Trump Plaza a few years ago. However, despite fan reaction being negative, Uncle Dave actually defends the decision for Hulk Hogan to win the title from a business standpoint. He says that building the future around Bret Hart simply hasn't drawn, and while building around Hogan, again, might not be a long-term solution, he's a proven draw, and they need to turn business around immediately. There's no room to think long-term when things are so bad in the short term. Uncle Dave basically thinks that if Hogan can get the business back up, that they can run him on top for a while and actually give themselves some breathing room to plan for the future after he leaves again.
I just want to point out, we were watching this with a friend, and I'm like, man, when Hogan won, say whatever you want, but that place blew. They went nuts when he won. And then my friend's like, oh, yeah, the title going on the most over guy in the history of this business. Yeah, that was a bad decision. Oh, man.
Yeah. It was weird. And I don't think he held on to it for very long, did he? He dropped
he lost
it pretty
to the King of the Ring. Now in the archives, you and Jacob Grundy also was Sunday.
I think it was just us with that one, wasn't it?
I don't think it was me. I think it was you and Grundy, I want to say. I think it was the first name, but just calling him Grundy sounds cool. But I'm pretty sure it was you two.
Maybe. I don't remember. I have to go back and check. But
yeah, he was busy. Yeah, and he stepped in. Yeah. So.
Gotcha.
WWF WrestleMania 17.
We now see The Rock walking down the hall towards gorilla position and Stone Cold glaring at himself in a mirror in his dark dressing room before we get the epic build-up package between the two to My Way by Limp Bizkit. And if this doesn't get you in the mood for this match, then you're dead inside. That's all I'm going to say. But we get The Rock defending the WWF title against Stone Cold Steve Austin. It is now declared no disqualification, which Jim Ross goes off on commentary. He's like, when did this become no DQ? Who did this? We'll find out.
But, who made that ruling?
Yeah. Goes for about 28 minutes. Seeing Stone Cold come out to his Disturbed theme brought a smile to my face. I always loved that one.
I didn't hate it, but I like his original better.
Yeah, I'm torn, but yeah, I don't know. I always loved that Disturbed theme. The crowd is firmly behind Stone Cold for this one, because, you know, he's a hometown boy. The Rock gets busted open after a monitor shot to the head. Steve Austin gets busted open after that. Both wear a crimson mask. They're both bleeding like nuts. They recreate the spot where from WrestleMania 13 with The Rock walking in the sharpshooter while Austin's got blood streaming down his face. Mr. McMahon now comes to the ring halfway through the match and pulls The Rock off of a pin attempt. You can see The Rock look at McMahon and mouth, "You mother effer," before chasing him around the ring. Later, we can see Austin giving instructions to McMahon to help him. By this time, the crowd totally turns on Austin. They can see what's going on. Finally, Austin beats the absolute hell out of The Rock with a steel chair, and he pins him for the win. Uncle Dave gave this 4.5 stars. I gave it an even 4. What say you?
I gave it an even 5. I love this match.
Yeah.
This is my favorite match between these two at WrestleMania. It always will be.
Yeah, I've got to go back and watch their 19 match.
That was great, too, but this was just so much better, I thought. So much more emotion, so much going into it.
What's funny is the WrestleMania 19 match was the only match that they had at WrestleMania that wasn't, like, just a huge brawl through the arena.
No, but for some reason, Rock had to wear Austin's vest halfway through the match.
Yeah, that was funny. Both were great, but yeah, I would probably say this was my favorite. I mean, it was damn good. I definitely want to go back and just watch the 19-1 to compare, but they had their working boots on for this one, man. After the match, Austin and McMahon shake hands, and then they share beers. Jim Ross is losing his mind and cussing up a storm, shouting, "Why, Steve? Why this way?" When The Rock finally stands up, Austin blasts him in the face with a world title, and we end WrestleMania.
WWE WrestleMania 18.
Drowning Pool performs The Game from Forcible Entry to bring Triple H to the ring. People claim that the lead singer forgets the words and starts shouting "Time to play the game" over and over, but unless they edited it, it sounded fine to me.
No, he did. I mean, it was rough.
Did they edit it then? Because I didn't hear that.
I don't think so. Go back and listen to the song. Now, okay, I will say this. If you've ever seen a band live, they don't stick to the actual lyrics all the time. You know, they add a little bit, but you can tell he forgot the words. And like I said, dude, this guy's 3 months away. And it sucks saying this. He's 3 months, 4 months, something like that, away from overdosing and passing away. His freaking shirt says something about "Praise the devil, smoke crack." Go back and watch it on there. I'm not joking. It's what it says on his shirt during this performance. Yes. And I'm not trying to laugh at it. It's not funny. But no. I'm saying, like, clearly the guy had problems.
In my opinion, I think this was Drowning Pool's best lead singer. Easily. Yeah. I mean, the second one they got was not bad. I liked, because they get Drowning Pool to do, was it 20 or 21?
That they it was did? 20, yeah. 20, no, 21 sucked. That theme song was horrible.
That's right. I remembered.
But yeah, they got 20. They got it off of the Punisher soundtrack.
Yeah, that song "Rise Up." That song was fantastic, and that album was really good.
For SmackDown. This was
then what the hell?
Step up.
Step up. Okay.
Yeah, I think they did "Rise Up" SmackDown. That's funny you said that.
Yeah, right. I got them confused there, but yeah, they did "Step Up" for WrestleMania, and it was awesome. It was
to this day one of my top 3 favorite WrestleMania themes ever.
Yeah, for sure. They've had, like, I think they're on their 4th lead singer at this point. So, that's like, dude.
Revolving door.
I know. But, anyway, this one is Chris Jericho with Stephanie McMahon in his corner, defending the WWF Undisputed title against Triple H. And this one went 18 minutes, 41 seconds. This is probably...
That thing was all the way live.
Yeah, you don't say.
You're like the, because I'm considering myself the second person to mention it, because our mutual friend texted me about it, and then you said that, so it's like, yep, that's a consensus. But this is probably the best shape Triple H has ever been in, and he's got that Starrcade main event tan right now.
Hell yes.
He put Hulk Hogan to shame with that tan. He was dark, dude. He looked like Robert Downey Jr. from Tropic Thunder dark, all right?
Holy crap.
He did. But Jericho was the home country hero, but Triple H was actually the one getting cheered the most. I know, babyface and heel, whatever, but you'd think the Canadian would get cheered. But nope. He did have some support in the crowd. I saw a sign where they replaced a maple leaf with him doing his pose.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So yeah. This is also WrestleMania, so it's probably like 10-15% of the people there live there.
That's true, yeah. And Triple H just came back from injury here, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this was probably the most over he'd ever been as a babyface, was right here. Well, I don't think there's any probably about it. But either way, Stephanie rakes Triple H's eyes at one point, leading to Triple H grabbing her, Jericho accidentally spearing her, and then Triple H throwing her into the ring. He attempts a pedigree, but Jericho missile drop kicks him. Jericho works on Triple H's surgically repaired leg throughout this one. Triple H tries to pedigree Jericho through an announce table, but gets back body dropped into the other table. Jericho grabs a chair behind the ref's back, but Triple H kicks it into his face and DDTs him on it for a near fall. Stephanie now gets the chair and gets into a confrontation with Earl Hebner about it when he takes the chair from her. Triple H finally grabs her and pedigrees her to thunderous cheers. I thought that was funny. It's like, yeah, he hit the woman.
He's been trying to for weeks, by the way. So building up things. When's he going to finally hit it with a pedigree?
Yeah, what is it with Stephanie's got to get hit by a dude at WrestleMania? a la WrestleMania 32, anybody else?
Tough-ass woman, by the way.
Right? Not as tough as her brother, but yeah, definitely. Whole family, dude. They just, like, they know how to take an ass-whooping.
Dude, Linda got freaking tombstone on the damn stage. Remember that?
Right.
That's crazy. They've all taken a huge hit.
They did laugh, though, because they were like, if you look, they're like, you know, Glenn Jacobs was like cradling her like a baby because he did not want her even slightly getting hurt. Finally, Jericho jumps off the middle rope to a boot to the gut. Triple H hits the pedigree and wins. Uncle Dave gave this 3 stars. I gave it 3.5. I thought the match was actually really good. You know, it suffered from main eventing after the real main event, obviously, but I liked it. What do you say?
I also gave it 3. Because I do know they have a 5-star match coming up in 2 months.
So, what show is that?
Hell in a Cell at Judgment Day.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that one was really good.
That is the infamous one where Tim White gets taken out and never wrestles again.
Yeah, and then that leads to the Mr. White, that's not wise, you know, yep. Videos we get. But the crowd blows for Triple H's victory as he celebrates the best he can on one leg with 2 title belts as they close the show. Uncle Dave thinks that this was a step down from last year's show. I mean,
okay, yes, but that set the benchmark.
Right. I mean,
which, like, would be top of the year after this, by the way, but that's not fair.
Right. That's like saying, like, man, that was the greatest thing ever, and this is just good. Like, it's kind of a step down. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't saying that the matches were bad, per se. I think he was just saying they weren't as good as previous matches they've had.
And he said the worst one within the past year?
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't
Triple
have
H
a list
wrestled
in front of me, so.
So within the past year of this, Triple H was in a match with Kane at Backlash. Or no, tag match at Backlash. Match with Kane at Judgment Day, and then he's gone, and he's in the Royal Rumble. So his worst match in the year was like 4 real matches. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I guess so.
So he said that. So I'm going off his logic here. So this was his best one or worst one at 3. So every match I just named off was more than 3.
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Kurt Angle, I could totally see it because this match was good. But I mean, I'm assuming he had better pay-per-view matches before this, like all year. But I could be wrong. I don't know. All through 2001, he was doing the Alliance stuff, mostly, yeah. So, I don't know.
I don't get this idiot's logic. So this is Triple H's worst match in a year. He's only had a couple, and those were all apparently more than 3 stars to him, going off his logic.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Well, whatever.
And Kurt was about to blow the doors off here in about 6 months-ish.
I feel like he becomes the real Kurt Angle when he loses his hair. So,
right,
yeah.
Yeah.
So.
For sure. But he said, a lot of stuff felt off. It was clear that the crowd was there for one person and one person only, and everything else felt almost insignificant in comparison.
Can you go back to my Canelo comparison when people go to a boxing fight to see him? Nobody cares. Nobody cares, bro, about everybody else. So,
yeah. I mean, this whole show was built around that match. Yeah. And I mean, there were other feuds. The main event feud was a thing. He did, you know, he criticized saying, it was like, well, Jericho's just kind of there, even though he's the champion. It's mostly about Stephanie versus Triple H. Like,
I guess I can kind of see that.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I suppose that's a valid criticism.
One of my notes, by the way, I forgot to mention during that match, I was getting mad how audible Stephanie was. That's all you hear the whole match is her yelling, Jericho, yeah, Jericho, yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God, yeah.
Turn off the damn microphone on that camera.
She was annoying. I mean, not as annoying as, you know, like old school Heyman or the worst ever is Bill Alfonso.
Easily.
But that was just
how RVD or Sabu didn't shove that whistle on his throat.
I know. I was like, how did you guys put up with that for years? He was like, yeah, sure, blow that whistle all match. Like, good Lord.
And it's ECW. It's not like you're saying you're getting paid well for it.
And they're not in an arena where the sound carries or something. Like, it's like in a tiny ass little building where, you know, that's loud as hell. But anyway.
WWE WrestleMania 19.
Main event. Right here for WrestleMania 19, it is Kurt Angle defending the undisputed WWE Championship against Brock Lesnar in 21 minutes, 4 seconds. Angle does a few suplexes to Brock, but mostly out-wrestles him to the mat, going kind of hold-for-hold with him. Brock finally gets in a belly-to-belly, some belly-to-belly suplexes.
You don't say every day Brock Lesnar got out-wrestled.
Yeah, right. If there's one guy in their prime I would probably put my money on to out-wrestle him, it would be Kurt Angle.
Right.
But Brock gets in some belly-to-bellies on Kurt, but Kurt gets right back in control. Kurt even manages to get out of an F5 attempt and instantly lock in the ankle lock. When Brock reaches the ropes, Kurt transitions into a single-leg crab. Kurt manages to hit the angle slam for a two count, tries for a second, but Brock reverses it and hits an F5 for a near fall. Later on, Angle goes for another angle slam, but Brock slips out and nails an F5 for another two count. Brock goes up top, and he goes for the shooting star press. And he lands
that in,
on
that now, via research, he used to do it quite often. You know, it was FCW, OVW, whichever one it was.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of his finishers in OVW. But he hadn't done it in, like, years. And then I can't remember if it was his idea or somebody pitched it to him. And he's like, oh, I'm going to do a shooting star. And I think Kurt was the one. He was like, when was the last time you did that? And he's like, oh, I'll be fine. Well, I need to cue it up here.
Yeah, about but, that.
Yeah. He goes for the shooting star and lands on his damn head as Angle had the wherewithal to roll his ass away. Because otherwise, he would have basically headbutted Kurt right in the chest. Kurt pins Brock for a two count. They both get up. Brock nails yet another F5 and gets the pinfall win for the title. Uncle Dave liked this way more than I did. He gave it 4.25 stars. I gave it 3. I thought it was fine. What say you?
I gave it 4.
I don't know why. It just wasn't... I didn't hate it. I mean, I gave it 3 stars. I just... I don't know. Especially with some of the awesome stuff we'd seen tonight. I thought it was fine.
Well, I also graded on a curve because Kurt had a damn broken neck almost, so...
Yeah, right. So that would explain a lot of the mat work that he did. I mean, he would do mat work anyway, but I felt like it was more so in this match. And, I mean, obviously we know why. But, yeah, Kurt said he literally had to help Brock to his feet. And he was like, you need to hit me with an F5. And he's like, huh? And he's like, hit me with an F5, damn it. Yeah, so Brock was freaking out of it, man. But
oh, damn clue where he is.
Yeah. Brock's clearly on Dream Street here, and he can barely stand up without leaning on the ropes. But Kurt stands up now and hugs him, and a ton of pyro blows off on the stage. This ends the show.
WWE WrestleMania 21.
Main event time. Don't forget, by the way, to subscribe and leave a review, please. It helps us. It helps us get seen.
and spread the love to everybody you know. But all right, man, main event of WrestleMania 21, Triple H defends the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Batista. Triple H has Ric Flair in his corner, by the way. I forgot to mention that. It goes for 21 and a half minutes. Flair predictably gets involved multiple times in this one. Triple H takes most of the match, slowly beating up Batista. He tries for a pedigree on Batista on the stairs, but Batista reverses it and catapults Triple H face first into the ring post. And Triple H, man, he cut himself big. Like, I'm like, damn, dude, he's like pouring blood. Later on, the referee gets bumped and Flair tries to get involved, but takes a spine buster for his troubles. However, Triple H manages to blast Triple H with a world title. I honestly thought this was it. But it was not. Triple H later low blows his way out of a Batista bomb attempt, and he tries for a pedigree, but Batista blocks it with his goddamn manly strength.
So like, vascular.
He powers his effing way out of it before giving the thumbs down and a Batista bomb for the win. This started really slowly, and then I feel like it picked up about halfway through. Uncle Dave gave it 2 3/4 stars. There we go again. I gave it 3. What say you?
I also gave it 3. I really like this match.
It was good.
Admittedly, I think they had better ones after this, but I like them.
If anybody goes back in the archives, Vengeance 05, they have a much better match inside of Hell in a Cell. But this was still really good. So, I always like this combo. I will say,
it's probably Batista's best opponent ever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This, my thing at this time, I just remember Triple H had been on his reign of terror up until this point, and, you know, he was always in the title picture, always the champion, just period. And then Batista came along, and I was so, like, they tried it with Orton first, and I was just kind of like, eh, whatever. And then when Batista, they finally gave him the push, I was like, okay, I'm into this one. I don't know what it was, I didn't give a crap about Orton. But I loved Batista.
Thus vilifying everything Vince McMahon stands for and who he wants as a star. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously, I mean, I love Batista, but is he as great as a wrestler as like Triple H or Orton? Or I don't think so. I mean,
no.
But that's not saying much. I mean, those guys are all amazing, but he wants to champion be a big, vascular, muscular man, and here you are saying you liked him. So it's like,
yep.
It's kind of hard to crap on his logic, you know?
Well, my thing is, it's not just the look. I mean, obviously, he had a great look and whatever, but, like, he just had it. He wasn't the greatest.
You wanted to like him.
Yeah, he didn't have the greatest promos, but they were fine, and they had emotion to them, and he just seemed like somebody you could believe in.
Well, you better have kind of emotion when you work with Triple H and Flair for all them years.
No, I know, right? I mean, you want to talk about getting, like, the best training you could possibly get, and the best, like, you know, sitting under the learning tree, you got Triple H and Orton and Ric Flair right there. There's no wonder why him and Orton turned out the way they did. But at the end of this, Batista poses with the world title in Triple H's blood.
Because
Dave must pose, pal. But he puts it in Triple H's bloody face before Triple H gets Ric Flair to carry him to the back. I just imagine Ric Flair whispering over at Triple H. He's like, I'm J.J. Dillon now. But anyway,
that guy in the ring is Ole, right?
Ole? He ain't beating Flair.
A little hard hitter.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
There's more of an arm. He was the enforcer, but...
Yeah. Well, if we're going with, you know, big, meaty guys who beat up Flair, made him bleed, I mean, he could... Batista would have been probably Sting.
Oh, make him bleed.
Well, but he's not fat.
WWE WrestleMania 24.
Now we're on to the main event. The Undertaker has some flamethrower cannons on either side of the stage. He's also wearing his WrestleMania 14 entrance gear minus the high collar. Edge has Vicky Guerrero wheeled onto the stage in a wheelchair by Teddy Long. He also gets a Cody Rhodes level of pyro.
I don't know about you. I was a tad underwhelmed by the entrances of the main event of WrestleMania for this. Like, yeah, there was a lot of... they were fine. It just, I don't know. Maybe I got spoiled. Like, the last few years, they've really, went way out with, trying to make the entrances different and special. But now, on to the main event. It is Edge defending the World's Heavyweight title against The Undertaker in about 24 minutes. Near the end, the ref gets bumped, and referencing their Survivor Series match, Edge hits The Undertaker with a camera. He attempts a tombstone. The Undertaker reverses it and hits a tombstone of his own. Referee Charles Robinson hauls ass to the ring for a near fall.
Greatest run in the street.
I know. I was like, damn, dude, he was booking it. But then Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder run down. Undertaker knocks Hawkins off the apron and chokeslams Ryder onto him. This leads to an Edge spear, but Undertaker kicks out. After a second spear, Undertaker locks in Hell's Gate, and Edge taps out. Uncle Dave gave this 4.25 stars. I gave it 3.5. What say you?
I gave it 4. This is one of my all-time favorite matches at this moment, at this point.
I remember me and all my buddies were like losing it because we thought that Edge might actually do it. And we were like, no. So all of us were big Undertaker marks, obviously. So we were like, oh, man. But this was a damn good match. And if you can make me believe like that, I got to give the match more props for that. I like not knowing going into it who's going to win, you know, and I really thought that Edge could have done it. But Edge has blood coming from his mouth as the Undertaker celebrates with the World Heavyweight title. Undertaker does his pose, the lights drop, and pyro and fireworks go off everywhere to end the show.
So the fan gets hit by one, by the way, and it becomes a big thing. True story.
What? You said the sign gets hit by one?
No, a fan gets hit by one of Undertaker's pyros.
Oh, yeah, I remember. I think I remember hearing about that. That was, yeah, that's pretty scary. Poor dude, or who, you know, whatever.
WWE WrestleMania 34.
The main event is here. It is for the WWE Universal title. Yeah. Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman, the wise man, is in his corner, taking on
Advocate right here.
Oh, well, yeah. He's taking on Roman Reigns. He's defending the title against him. It's funny that the role, like, literally everything would be flipped a few years later. Like, Roman's the heel. He's got Heyman in his corner. He's defending the title. Like, it's funny how wrestling changes, man.
Cody Rhodes claims he's going to beat Roman and send Paul Heyman back to being an advocate. I thought that was funny.
Nice. But this goes just shy of 16 minutes. Brock backs Roman into the corner right away, and Roman fights back until getting suplexed multiple times. It all goes from the it's just all go from then
take
on
you
out.
Down to Suplex City, bitch.
Wow. Brock hits
Paul Heyman's words, not mine.
Yep.
I wouldn't call my tribal chief that.
Wow. Brock hits 3 F5s on Roman before hitting a 4th through the announce table. The chance of boring rained down on these two. How times have changed. Little cheers would pop up here and there, but that's because beach balls and waves were going on through the crowd. Roman kicks out.
Remember the next night at Raw when, at the end, after they show off the air, he says, Raw's like, who's got a beach ball? I know someone's got it. Just blow them up and start shooting them everywhere.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. But Roman kicks out of a 5th F5, and the crowd boos every time he kicks out.
Don't worry, I cried.
It's not like a strong boo. It's like you'd hear a smattering of boo. Like, it's still going on. Brock takes off his gloves and repeatedly beats on Roman's head until he bleeds like a stuck freaking pig. Roman reverses an F5 into 2 spears for a near fall. When he goes for another spear, Brock catches him for a 6th F5 to win and retain the Universal title. Uncle Dave actually gave this 3 stars. I give it 2.5. I thought it was an average match. What say you?
Okay, I would have given it 3 stars if their SummerSlam match last year hadn't happened, so I gave it 2. Or, yeah, 2.
Yeah, this was...
I was kind of... much as I love Roman, I was kind of like over him and Brock. Like, enough already.
Yeah, I know. Especially at this time. It was just like, dude.
And then when they switch roles again. When they switch roles, I'm like, oh, it became fresh to me.
There were two reactions in the crowd, by the way. There was you, me, another guy, and there were a few Roman fans in the crowd, but it was like definitely us. We just kind of sat there like, okay. And then like the other fans were like, yay, I'm out. And they just...
Oh, I remember your reaction perfectly. You're like, really?
Yeah. I was shocked. Like, legitimately.
I think I was more shocked at this than Shinsuke and Asuka.
Yeah, right. Well, the crowd...
That's not for sure. This is it. Roman's getting the title tonight. Like, it was a lock in my mind.
The crowd's shocked and silent at the end of the show. Like, no noise was picked up, man. It was pretty quiet. This was honestly... Hear? I say what?
You know what you could hear?
What?
A mouse pissing on cot. That's my favorite one.
Oh, God. Yeah. this is honestly a downer way to end the night that fell extremely flat. Flat as a plate full of piss. If I had to critique this card, I would call it out for extremely weird card placement for quite a few matches. Especially, like, why'd you put that bar match right before this and then end the night like this?
Generally, a lot of historians call that the death spot, so there's that.
Yeah, right. But I also felt like some finishes were swerves for the sake of owning the IWC. It just felt that way to me. Like, Vince was like, oh, the internet says this, well, we're going to give them that because f*** them. Wow. I guess the rumor was... Place. Yeah, right. I own your ass, damn it.
Like what I tell you to like.
I guess rumor has it, Brock came back, stayed. He was pretty pissed after this match. He came back and just like whipped the title at Vince.
Oh, there's no rumor on that. It's on the 24 special.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you can hear Vince say, I think he said, what's your fucking problem? He yells really loud.
Damn. Like, what do you mean, what's his problem? Did you not hear that reaction? Like, the crowd, like, dude, the crowd shit on that match, man. They vomited that thing up. Nobody liked it.
I'll say this. I think it might have been a little bit better if they just went with maybe Roman and AJ in hindsight and Brock and
Nakamura. Yeah.
That might have been a little bit better. It would have been a little more original.
Yeah, might as well. That is it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. I enjoyed putting all this together. It was great to listen back to some of my favorite times here on Main Event Marks, recording with Greg. We had a lot of fun. Like I said, every time WrestleMania season rolled around, I very much looked forward to sitting with Greg, laying out the schedule. What are we going to cover? What are we going to talk about? Which WrestleManias should we plug in this year? And I'd rewatch the shows, which I was excited about, making my notes. I was excited to hear his opinions, and we'd put it all in audio form. It's just, it's great stuff to listen back to it. I don't know anybody who lost a close friend that you communicated with and you shared a hobby with. If you're able to go back and re-experience that without your friend, but it's almost like they're still there with you, especially in this way, he literally is in the audio. So it's good stuff. And I hope you all enjoyed it. And we will see you all next week. I've actually got two WrestleMania shows coming out, just like I did the two Thank You Sting episodes. I think earlier this month, I want to say. Sorry, I'm getting my time mixed up. Earlier this month, I released two Thank You Sting episodes. Please go back and check those out in honor of Sting's retirement. But we've got two WrestleMania review episodes coming out back to back next week. It's all unreleased audio for the podcast. That's right. Yeah, unreleased stuff. It was on a podcast of old that I thought all the audio has been lost. And if you guys have only ever heard us on the Main Event Marks, this is all going to be brand new stuff to you. So go check that out next week. I'm excited to release it all. It's more WrestleMania Main Events, and we will see you all next week. Thank you for joining us on the Main Event Marks.